Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Marquise Munson, Corey Curtis from News 2 joining us here as the Titans clinch a playoff spot with a win over the Houston Texans yesterday afternoon. They will play the New England Patriots, of course, on Saturday evening, 7:15 on Wild Card Weekend. So the second time in 3 years, the Titans not only make the playoffs, but will make the trip north to Gillette Stadium to take on Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. No big deal. Corey, my first question for you is, of all of the offensive accomplishments of this team, the second highest scoring team in Titans history, Ryan Tannehill leading the NFL in efficiency numbers, Derrick Henry with the rushing title, A.J. Brown doing things that very few Titans receivers have accomplished outside of the guy sitting next to me. Does any one of them stand out as a bigger, more impressive number to you as you've covered this team?
To me, rushing championships just don't happen every day, and to do it in 15 games is even more impressive. And to me, just that's where the whole thing starts for this team. You know, the last 8 to 10 weeks is their commitment to run the football and base everything off of that and play action. I mean, Tannehill was great. I'm not taking anything away from it, but it all starts with number 22 running the football. And we all asked before the season, and he got tired of hearing it, which Derrick Henry were we going to see? Because it's been two vastly different Derrick Henrys. The one we saw for the first 42 games or the ones we saw the last like 5 or 6 games of last year. And it was even better than the one we saw to finish last season, in my opinion. And he was great again yesterday. And when this Titans offense really rolls, it's when he's really rolling. I mean, he had four or five 100 yard games the last 6 games. I mean, it was incredible. And like I said, rushing championships just don't happen. And he averaged over 100 yards a game he played, and that's an incredible number.
Yeah, it is. We understand that as Derrick Henry goes, this offense go. A lot of it is predicated on how well Derrick Henry is running the football, and we saw that 2 weeks ago when he wasn't playing. That offense, it sputtered a little bit, but this week they were able to get back on track. Going back, let's go to the offensive line, because I think they're getting lost in the shuffle in everything that's going on good, whether it's A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill. But this offensive line, from a run standard, they've been one of, if not the best run blocking offense in the National Football League. Where do you think that change, when and where do you think that change happened?
Well, I mean, when they changed quarterbacks, they also, for some reason, changed mentality, that they were going to be a run-first, run-heavy team. They weren't going to throw 19 bubble screens a game, and they were going to pound number 22, and that's what they did. I mean, and they stopped making mistakes. You know, if you remember, like, was it 6 or 8 weeks into the season, Derrick Henry led the league in negative carries, and that wasn't anything Derrick Henry was doing wrong. It was because of how many leaks and everything they had on the offensive line. But when they made a commitment to run the football and go forward, that's when they got things really rolling. And you're absolutely right. You know, that's the group that gets lost in this, because, you know, when people asked me after 6 games, you know, about the season, and I thought the season was over, because I saw no hope in that group getting turned around. None. I didn't think it was possible. And they got it turned around, and it all starts at the line of scrimmage. Because we talk about Tannehill's numbers, you know, he's not throwing the ball that many times. I mean, did he throw 20 passes yesterday?
Nah, I think he might have thrown 20.
19,
20 passes.
I mean,
yeah.
And that's when this offense has been at its best, when it's only throwing 18, 19, 20 passes a game, 22, and they're scoring 35 points. And it's because they're mowing people in the run game. And most offensive lines will tell you that they like to move forward. Not a lot of them like to drop back in pass protections 40 and 50 times a game, and you get defenses on your heels. It's, you know, how did Roger Saffold get better? Well, he got better by moving forward instead of moving backwards. You know, we didn't talk about a lot of Roger Saffold's mistakes coming in the run game. We talked a lot about his struggles coming in pass protection when they were happening. When this team decided to move forward is when it all got better.
Corey Curtis joining us here, News 2. And, you know, as it was unfolding before the Titans kicked off, you know, I threw out a tweet. I said, you know what, if I'm a Titans fan, I think I'd rather go to Foxborough and match up with this Patriots offense the way they've been struggling lately, relatively speaking, than to play a Chiefs team that feels like it's rounding into form and you sort of, I don't want to say got lucky to beat them, but Mahomes threw for 433 on you just a couple of weeks ago and they had to settle for field goals. Do you like the matchup with the Patriots better than the matchup with the Chiefs on the road?
I like it a lot better. I mean, I like it a lot better just because of the weapons on the outside side and the difference in the speed. We've looked at this Titans defense, which has been banged up in the secondary, and we've, you know, they got through a few weeks because they were better matchups. And then when they faced teams that were better on the outside, they got lit up a little bit. You know, they're lucky they didn't have to play a game they had to win yesterday against a team that rolled Will Fuller and DeAndre Hopkins and Kenny Stills out there, because yesterday could have been a tough long day. And so the Texans, the Patriots, you know, they just don't have, they are the Patriots. So don't get me wrong, but there's a reason they lost to the Dolphins yesterday. There's a reason. And it's because they're not the team that they were. They may somehow still go on to win the Super Bowl. I don't see it happening. But I like this matchup a lot for the Titans. I think what are the Patriots, like a 6.5 point favorite or something like that? I would scoop up those points in a heartbeat.
Yeah, it's you know, you look at New England, and if I told Brayden, if you're going to play New England any year, this is the year you play them, because they just, yes, they're a top 10 offense, yes, they're a top 10 defense, but they don't, when you watch them, it just doesn't look like that from an offensive standpoint.
Well, who have they played, Mace? I mean, they played the AFC East and the NFC East, two of the worst divisions in football.
Yeah, and they've lost to teams with the winning record besides the Miami Dolphins. Every other team they've lost to have been playoff teams. Looking at the Titans moving forward, because I'm watching that game yesterday, and should I be concerned? Because against A.J. McCarron, this defense, I thought this defense was going to come out and playing against a backup, a bunch of them, they were going to come out and they were going to, you know, play pretty well. They're going to be able to stop them, and they were not. And this has been an ongoing problem with the Tennessee Titans for the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, probably even longer than that. And we say New England doesn't have much of an offense, but, man, this defense isn't playing well either.
Well, if they can't stop the run, it's going to be a long day, because that's what the Patriots are going to try to do. I mean, they're trying to get back to that power running style that really propelled them at the end of last season. And, you know, the Titans have gotten leakier on offense in the run game. And when you saw Alvin Kamara bust one off, you know, the week before, the Texans went for 130 2 weeks ago. And, you know, you had to think going into this game with A.J. McCarron's a quarterback, you just said, hey, we're going to stop the run and make A.J. McCarron's beat us. And they weren't great against the run. Now, the good thing about playing run defense is a lot of it is just responsibility in doing your job and just being disciplined. And when some of those disciplines come apart, that's when run defense comes apart. So I think that's something that can quite often be fixed a little bit. You know, I think, you know, you probably looked at the film, you'd probably see Jeffrey Simmons get a little too deep sometime in gap penetration, try to do too much. Because that's something that's hard for young defensive linemen to do, is to be disciplined and just do their job and not overshoot things. and I'm not blaming anything on him by any means. I'm just guessing that you would see a little bit of that. But they've got to be more disciplined in their run gaps and their run fits and what they do, and make this game about the Patriots receivers and not about their running backs.
Corey, always a pleasure, my friend. What a heck of a ride. Remarkable last 10 weeks of the season, and the Titans are in the playoffs. Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, you know, two remarkable things. Number one, I never thought that we'd get there because I thought it would take 10 wins, and it really only took 8 because we say they wanted to get in the playoffs. They could have lost yesterday, and
right,
they still would have gotten in.
Yeah,
yeah,
you're right.
Because the Steelers lost, and so it is what it is. So there you go,
yep,
man. I appreciate it, Corey.
All right.
Corey Curtis, News 2. I'll say this, though, and I want to get back into the offensive production because I do think that is the story around this team. The defense is certainly, you know, listen, there are some nice pieces. Derek Roberson, another nice game from him yesterday. Now, I believe, fourth on the team in sacks after just 2 games.
Oh, wow.
Which is not good for the other people on your team. But there's clearly a matchup with Tom Brady coming, and we're going to have all week to break it down. But I do think, like, sort of stepping back to look at what this team just accomplished, I think out of the 3 or 4 players that did remarkable things, I think there's clearly one that's head and shoulders above everybody else, but it's not for the reason you guys may think it is. I'll explain, and we'll take a look at all those offensive records for these Tennessee Titans when we come back right here. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Well, pick a record, any record. Which record would you like to discuss? The Tennessee Titans beat the Texans on Sunday to clinch a playoff spot in the AFC, and a trip to Gillette Stadium against the New England Patriots, 7:15 Central Time Saturday evening, will be your playoff game. The second time in 3 years, of course, that the Titans will not only A, make the playoffs, but B, have to travel to New England to play the Patriots. And a great opportunity for all these guys that have ties to the organization to prove themselves. Derek Mason, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. And obviously, I think the story to me, since making the change, because we have to discuss John Robinson and Mike Vrabel in this conversation as well. The decision to switch to Ryan Tannehill was a bold one. It was not a difficult one. Marcus Mariota made it very easy on Mike Vrabel to make the switch to Ryan Tannehill. And you got to give John Robinson a boatload of credit for not only building a roster that has had 4 consecutive winning seasons, one of only 4 teams in the NFL to do that. The other ones are the Patriots, Seahawks, and Chiefs. He gets credit for that. He also went out and got Ryan Tannehill in March before the draft for basically nothing, and made Miami pay for it, frankly, as well. And this guy is setting all kinds of records. And so the records are there. Derrick Henry won the rushing title. It's the 4th season, essentially. He's ranked 4th all-time in Tennessee Titans history behind Chris Johnson and Oilers history, Earl Campbell. His 18 touchdowns are second place all-time. I mean, the superlatives go on and on. A.J. Brown over 1,000 yards, one of only 7 guys to do that in a Titans uniform. You know, it's the first rookie receiver for this organization to go over 1,000 yards since Ernest Givens in 1986. I mean, we can go down the list of all these records. But here's the thing that stands out to me. I agree with you and with Corey, Derek, that Derrick Henry is the straw that stirs the drink. He's the engine. Like, he's the main focal point. He's the reason this team is where they are. But I think the more remarkable and more unpredictable story was Ryan Tannehill, because you said you thought Derrick Henry should lead the AFC in rushing this year in the summertime.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be that big of a surprise that Derrick Henry had 1,500 yards and, you know, led the NFL in rushing. Is it a little bit better than we thought? Of course it is. But it's not like, if you're talking odds, you know, you said this guy was going to lead the AFC in rushing. So it's not like this was unforeseen, some crazy, unpredictable thing that Derrick Henry was pretty good at running the football this year. A.J. Brown, I mean, listen, I was as high on A.J. Brown as anybody coming out of the draft. I thought he was Anquan Boldin. Did I think he's going to get to 1,000 yards? No, but I thought he'd have a hell of a season, and he had a heck of a season. I think the most unpredictable and unforeseen part of all of this is not just that Ryan Tannehill was good. He was historically good. I mean, leading the NFL in yards per attempt, leading the NFL in passer rating, 3rd in the NFL in completion percentage. All 3 of those, by the way, Tennessee Titan records. It's the second highest scoring team in Tennessee Titans history to your 0-3 team with Mack and the co-MVP. I get Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown are big stories. I still think the Ryan Tannehill stat line is more unpredictable and more dramatic and crazier of any of these 3 things. I still think it's Tannehill that is the larger, more bizarre story than the other two. Does that make sense? Like,
I mean,
it's more unpredictable to me.
Yeah, it does. I don't think, from a win-loss total, I mean, I recall saying this is a 9-17 with Marcus Mariota. It's a 9-17 with Ryan Tannehill. I didn't think that together this was either quarterback was going to win you 12, 13 games. But I didn't see 9-7 going the way that it did from an offensive standpoint.
Right.
9-7 for me was, which they did, but give Derrick Henry the football. The defense was going to, not allow no more than, 16 points a game.
Right.
And the offense was going to put up, 20 points a game, if that. And they were going to win these tough games because of Derrick Henry running football and defense. Well, it was the latter, sort of. They won games at the end because they ran and Ryan Tannehill was efficient. It had nothing to do with the – honestly, it had nothing to do with the defense because, didn't play well. They didn't play well for whatever reason. They had injuries. I know they had all that stuff happen. They're playing, rookie guys. They're playing guys that they have to bring up. I get all of that, and I understand that. But what has happened in the second half had nothing to do with the defense. It had everything to do with them having the ability to want. Now that I'm thinking about it, it's one thing. One thing and one thing only. It's explosive play for the Tennessee Titans. If I was to look at, what has happened the last 10 games of the season, based upon A.J. Brown averaging 20 yards per catch, based upon Derrick Henry averaging, 5 yards per carry?
5.1, yeah.
Based upon Ryan Tannehill averaging close to 10 yards per pass.
Which is astronomically good.
This team probably had the most or as many big plays, explosive plays, than anybody in the NFL the last half of the season. I think that's what really tipped the scales for them. Because A.J. Brown only caught 55 passes.
52.
Yeah. Average 20 yards per catch.
Which is crazy good.
Ryan Tannehill didn't throw the ball that much, but averaged close to 10 yards per pass play. This was a big play, explosive offense. This is what this was. It wasn't a methodical offense. It was a big play because Derrick Henry would hit you. It could, but if you look at this team, this is a big play team. That's what they are. Derrick Henry, they will hit you with Derrick Henry, hit you, and then they'll throw it over the top to A.J. Brown. Or they'll throw a 15-yarder and he'll break a couple of tackles. And then in the third or fourth quarter, somehow, somewhere, we all see it coming, Derrick Henry hits you for 40 yards. That's just the way – this is this offense.
Right.
They are a big play offense. They are an explosive play offense. I think that more than anything else tilted the scales because – you're not going to win the game if the quarterback's only throwing the ball, 20 times a game, and the running back is running, honestly, 20-something times a game. That's what Derrick Henry was only getting the ball on average, maybe, 22 times a game, somewhere around there?
Maybe more like 17 or 18, but yeah.
But what they were efficient and explosive. The plays that they ran, they got big chunks.
Yeah.
They were not the New England Patriots. They were not the New Orleans Saints. They were not, these teams that methodically moved the ball down the field. Now, like you said, at times they could, but the majority of the times, they were big chunks. They played New Orleans. Their two plays was 40-yard plays. Yeah. Two scoring plays, 40-yard plays. The pass to Sharp, his second touchdown pass, 30-40 yards?
Yeah, long play.
They are a big play offense. That's why they are able to do the things that they have been able to do the second half of the season.
Yeah, this is where two things can exist in your mind. Uh-huh. Derrick Henry is the MVP. He is the focal point. He is the star of the offense. Everything runs through 22.
Mm-hmm.
That is the truth. But that was far more predictable than what Ryan Tannehill accomplished. That to me is the difference. Like, the statistical anomaly isn't Derrick Henry running the ball well. We all expected that. One of either a first-round pick in Corey Davis or a second-round pick in A.J. Brown, a receiver having 1,000 yards in modern NFL football is not a statistical anomaly. What's the statistical anomaly is a guy who's never won more than 8 games in his entire career, who's never made a playoff start, and has never been an above-average quarterback, throwing at ratios that are the best in franchise history. That is the statistical anomaly. That is the thing that no one predicted. And that's, to me, what makes Ryan Tannehill the bigger story. He's not the more important player, necessarily. Derrick mm-hmm. Henry is the engine. But the statistical anomaly is Ryan Tannehill. That what he was able to accomplish, and some of that is because of Derrick Henry, obviously, mm-hmm. but the credit to him, to Arthur Smith, to the job John Robinson did going out and getting Ryan Tannehill, Mike Vrabel making the switch to Ryan Tannehill, the offensive line developing over the course of the season, all of these things, to me, you know, not surprising that Derrick Henry had a good year. That's just not surprising to me. It's not surprising to me that one of those two receivers had 1,000 yards. That's not surprising. What is surprising to me is unprecedented levels of efficiency from a Titans quarterback who was the backup to start the year. That, to me, is again, the most unpredictable part of this and what makes it such a remarkable story, going from 2-4 to the playoffs, and now they're playing New England on Saturday night in the wild card round. And it should be, I think it's a legitimately balanced and even game. I think absolutely the Titans have a chance to go up there and get a win. And I did not feel that way a couple of years ago when the Patriots were clicking on all cylinders, mm-hmm. even after Mariota and Henry played well against Kansas City. I did not think they had a chance to go up there and win. I think this team can go up there and win.
Of course they can. And just think about this. I was talking about the offense. Derrick Henry averaged 20 carries per game. Ryan Tannehill averaged 23 passes per game. And they averaged 30 points the last half of the season.
Pretty balanced.
That's efficiency. That's big plays. That's balance. You can't ask any more of an offense than what they were able to do. The last 11 games of the season or 10 games of the season with Ryan Tannehill at the helm. But you're right.
He finished, by the way, 2 carries ahead of Zeke Elliott for the most carries in the NFL, 303 carries. So he had the most carries.
But he missed the game, too.
Yeah, exactly. Had the most carries, the most yards, and tied Aaron Jones for the most rushing touchdowns with one less game.
Yeah, one less game. So, and then one game he was hampered because of a hamstring. Still rushed over close to 100 yards. Mm-hmm. This is you know, an example of a team, you know, finding sort of lightning in a bottle the last half of the season. And everybody doing their job and doing it at a high clip. This is they played like professionals the last half of the team, last half of the season, and it showed.
There's one more. I want to get your initial thoughts on the matchup with the Patriots and sort of just your quick analysis on that when we come back. Also, the national championship has been set in college football, and the Preds struggle against Pittsburgh. So we've got a lot of stuff still to go on this celebratory day for Tennessee Titans fans. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. If you miss any of the show, we have moved our on-demand audio to Apple and Spotify. Search Morning Drive in Apple or Spotify, or log on to thegamenashville.com to find our daily audio. Rate, review, and subscribe. The NFL playoffs are set. We've talked, obviously, about the Titans going up to Gillette Stadium to take on the New England Patriots. That one at 7:15 p.m. Central Time on Saturday evening. The Texans and the Bills, of course. The Buffalo Bills at the Houston Texans is your other wild card matchup, also on Saturday. So both AFC games on Saturday. That one will be at 3:35 p.m. Central Time. And then on Sunday, because of the weird finish in the Seattle-San Francisco game last night, which cost my Green Bay Packers a one seed, whatever, I'm not bitter or anything. Minnesota at noon on Sunday at New Orleans. That's, of course, a rematch of a few playoff games. That was the Brett Favre game, right? The Bounty Gate game the Vikings at the Saints, I believe. The Favre, the Saints won the Super Bowl that year in 09, I believe.
Yeah, when they were out there targeted old quarterbacks, pretty much. That was their whole season. We're going to target the old quarterbacks. They got Kurt Warner that season, too.
Brett Favre, what is he doing here? And then at 3:40 Central Time, and on this was coming up, Seattle and the Eagles. So the Eagles win yesterday over the Giants, and they take a W there as well. So those are your four matchups in the wild card weekend. And the Eagles, Carson Wentz threw for 4,000 yards and didn't have a single receiver go for over 500 yards. You know how hard it is to throw for 4,000 yards and not have a single receiver? I think Carson Wentz is actually not getting enough credit for what he accomplished this year for the Eagles. But your thoughts real quickly, Derek, on just sort of those four matchups, wild card weekend, Titans, Patriots, obviously the headline.
This is – you never want to – rule out the New England Patriots because you know that when it comes down to it, Bill Belichick will have something ready for the playoffs, regardless of what the situation is. So you don't want to rule it out, but you just can't help but wonder.
What's he got up his sleeve?
Yeah, and can they, even at home, beat a 9-7 Tennessee Titan team that has looked really, really good on offense? But, again, they're playing in Foxborough or Gillette, excuse me, not Foxborough. Ooh, I went back.
They both count. No,
I went back.
It's Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
Yeah. They're playing in Gillette, and Bill Belichick is known to bring out something. What he's going to do and what he's always done, and he's done it very successfully, is that he's been able to take whatever runs your team or your big play guy, whether it be, you know, a guy running a football or a guy passing, catching a football. He's been able to eliminate that guy. He's been able to say, you know what? You can beat me with anybody else, but this guy right here, you're not going to beat me with. But I trust that my other guys will take care of everybody else. So this is a game, because I said this, 2 weeks ago in regards to A.J. Brown. Now he gets to play against a top-notch corner, and he had one catch, and now you can go back and say, well, Tannehill didn't see him.
Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, you can say, well, Tannehill didn't see him. Yeah, you can say whatever you want to, but the facts remain, he only had one catch. He didn't impact the game the way he had been impacting the game. Well, this is a week where going against arguably the best corner in the National Football League, because he's going to be on you wherever you go.
He might be the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Stephon Gilmore for the
Patriots.
He's
going to be wherever you go. If you go in the bathroom, he's going to be outside the stall waiting on you. If you go get a hot dog, he's going to be right behind you. He might even be serving you the hot dog.
What
AJ
about the
Brown.
Medical tent?
Yeah, if you go in the medical tent, he's going to be in the medical tent as well. He might be examining you.
No, doctor, he can come in. He's allowed. Come
he on. Everywhere you go, AJ Brown, Stephon Gilmore is going to be there with you. So this is your chance to prove that you are taking another step to becoming one of the best receivers in the National Football League. Now, it's going to be a tall task, because not even the best of the best have been able to go against Gilmore and have much success. So if you don't, I'm not going to say that, I'm not going to hold that against you. But you got an opportunity, to go out there and prove that you are taking a step forward to being, not only the number one receiver on this team, but one of the best receivers in the National Football League. Because everywhere you go, he's going. What scares me with this game for the Tennessee Titans has nothing to do with their offense. Because I think Derrick Henry will run the football. He might not get the long runs, because I think they're going against, this is the best defense they would have faced other than New Orleans the last 10 games of the season. This is the best defense they would have faced.
With Tannehill, because they played Buffalo, which is good, but that was with Marcus.
With Marcus. So this will be the best defense they would have faced in the National Football League. But the Titans, what scares me, the Titans defense. That is what scares me. Uh-huh. And we're talking, yeah. Well, this is not the same old New England offense, and they don't have Gronk. You know, they're not able to throw the ball with any efficiency. This was Tom Brady's worst when completions and
still threw it 4,000 yards.
And quarterback rating, this is his worst that he's had, you know, in the last 10 years. All of that may be true. But the Titans secondary isn't good right now.
Yeah.
And they're not getting to the passer.
Yeah, A.J. McCarron, actually made a few plays. Because that Titans defense was the starting unit.
And again, once again, TD brought this up. And it was hard for him to critique and criticize Kevin Byard. And it is, because Kevin Byard has played exceptionally well.
Yeah, he's a good player.
But yesterday, again, he got exposed on plays. Yesterday, he had an interception, but yesterday he still got exposed on plays. That's what scares me about this team. Their defense is going to be their Achilles heel. Their offense is going to play well, I believe. But can they play well enough to mask the deficiencies of the defense?
And does the defense make a quote-unquote bad Patriots offense relative to Patriots standards? Look like a regular Patriots offense. And on the other side, again, I'm with you. Stephon Gilmore will be all over A.J. Brown. Corey Davis's best game of his career was against New England in that playoff game. Now, again, they were behind and they had chucked it around, but I think he had 9 catches for like 98 yards and 2 touchdowns in that game. So Corey Davis has got to be bigger. What you know Belichick's going to do is once he puts Gilmore on Brown, he almost doesn't have to worry about that. Then he can focus on stopping what you do best, which is Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he stops Derrick Henry and has A.J. Brown covered, it comes down to Ryan Tannehill making plays with Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith and Firkser and Deion Lewis maybe even out of the backfield. There's going to be it's going to fall to the most unpredictable part of this offense, which was the Ryan Tannehill efficiency passing attack down the field. That's going to come down to that probably. And then, like you said, maybe the defense is going to have to get some stops as well. The other matchups, I mean, Houston and Buffalo, I know those are two. There's some really talented athletes for Buffalo's defense, and Deshaun Watson is a special player. That game has no sex appeal to me at all from a viewing standpoint. I mean, I'm going to watch every playoff game because I love football.
Buffalo's going to win.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Buffalo's going to win.
Houston, wouldn't be surprised.
Houston has a real problem. I mean, a major problem. Their defense is old, and secondary is bad.
So,
I mean, they are.
But
bad.
Can the Bills attack that? I mean, John Brown's a nice player, but they don't have a lot of weapons that go down the field
and
make plays. Cole Beasley,
but that defense is going to make Buffalo's passing offense look pretty good.
What about in the NFC? Any intrigue? I mean, listen, you look at these matchups, and there's a lot to like there. Of course, with Minnesota going to New Orleans, that's got the Bounty Gate history there to it, which is a lot of fun. And then Seattle at Philly. Is you know, I think Seattle's probably a team to beat there, but that's an interesting matchup as well.
But I think the more intriguing one is the Minnesota in New Orleans. This team has a history against one another. Minnesota has one of the best scoring. You know, they don't give up many points. As far as a whole, I think they're giving up right under 19 points a game. So they're going to make you make it very hard for you to run the score points against them. You know, they have a good offense, Minnesota does, but the part that's
how healthy is Dalvin Cook?
Yeah, how healthy is Dalvin Cook? But then, which Kirk Cousins show up?
Yeah,
that's what Minnesota fans need to worry about. Yep. Or let me say. New Orleans fans need to worry about. If the Kirk Cousins that looked, you know, like he has at times where he's throwing just touchdowns everywhere and he's efficient and he looks like the second coming of Fran Tarkenton, then watch out, New Orleans. You're not winning this game. But if the Kirk Cousins –
Who never shows up in any big games.
Exactly. If that guy shows up, then New Orleans, you're going to win this game by 14 points.
I like New Orleans. I like Seattle on the road. I'm with you. I kind of like Buffalo. And I'm not – obviously, we've got all week to break this down, but I really like the Titans' chances. I think they're going to play well.
I think
they're going to play well. I don't know if they win the game, but I think they're going to play well. National championship is set. I've got a question for you, Derek.
Mm-hmm.
that's sort of going to make you choose between your two children.
Ah.
I've got a question for you. I think it might make your head explode. And I'd like you to have you on the show this week. Mm-hmm. So I don't want you to like truly lose your mind.
Uh-huh.
But as LSU and Clemson both win on Saturday, the national championship is set. I've got a question for you. And it choose between your two children. We'll do that when we come back. Morning Drive, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, people, let me tell you about some good folks. It's national. Hey, listen, it's United Structural System Incorporated. It's a foundation and repair waterproofing company that has served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. That's a long time. They have more than 18,000 satisfied customers. That's a lot of customers. And listen, their tagline is, don't replace it, raise it. Here's some of their highlights. They got quality, great reputation. If you want some expertise, they got it. The most important thing to me, if you want integrity, United Structural System have it. Their workers, a lot of integrity. They are there. They get free estimates. They're a locally owned company, foundation and waterproof. Again, they serve Nashville and the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. They've done such a wonderful job. And their slogan is, listen, we guarantee our best. So call USS. So why not do it? If you want someone that's going to guarantee their best, like the Titans did this weekend, or like they guarantee against the New England Patriots, that they guarantee they will give their best, at least Derrick Henry will, then call USS. And here's the number, 615-227-2275. That's 615-227-2275. Or go online. That's USSTN.com, USSTN.com.
You're listening to Morning Drive live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Derek Mason, Braden Gall, Munson producing. All right, I got a question for you because we got a lot of NFL stuff to get to as the playoffs are set. The Titans make the wild card. The Predators can't, you know, keep a goaltender in net for more than 10 minutes. Listen, here's the question I have for you. With LSU crushing Oklahoma in the Peach Bowl and getting to the national championship game 14-0, and then, of course, you've got the Clemson-Ohio State game, which I thought was just a fantastic watch. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Dramatic, back and forth, physical, both quarterbacks making big plays, both teams making big plays. Yes, there was a questionable call, and no, I'm not talking about the targeting call. But Trevor Lawrence got the ball with about 3 minutes to go, down by two on his own six-yard line. He proceeded to go four plays, 94 yards for the game-winning touchdown pass to Travis Etienne. Mm-hmm. He finished with like 250 yards passing, over 100 yards rushing for Trevor Lawrence on a 67-yard touchdown run, which changed the game. Joe Burrow had eight touchdown passes for LSU. Seven touchdown passes, excuse me. Mm-mm-mm. One rushing, eight total touchdowns. Over 500 yards of offense, all of those playoff records. If you had to choose one of those players right now to start a team, are you starting your team with Trevor Lawrence? Or are you starting your team with Joe Burrow? Mr. I love Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow.
That's a tough one.
Like which team has the quarterback advantage in this game?
Because if you look at both guys, you know, here's my answer, and it's because of one thing. Because I think if you look at, you know, the measurables, obviously he's taller, but it's not like, you know,
Joe Burrow,
yeah, he's not like 5'2", right? You know, playing quarterback. So he has prototypical NFL height to play the quarterback position. Both of them run well. Mm-hmm. Both of them are good runners. Mm-hmm. I don't know who would be faster. I really don't know, but they both run well.
Did you see Lawrence take that 67 yards?
Yeah, I mean, he got long strides. He has some long strides. Yeah. It's two things that causes me to pick this person. And I've seen, because we've watched both guys play a lot the last 2 years, more so Burrow because he's SEC. But one guy moves better in the pocket than the other. And one guy has shown he's made the tighter throws, the NFL throws you're going to have to make. Not to say the other guy can't, and he has done
it. I can't
believe
you're giving up on Trevor Lawrence. I can't believe you're giving up on Trevor Lawrence.
I'm going with Joe Burrow.
You've been talking about Trevor Lawrence.
But what I'm saying is that I had to pick a guy.
I know.
And listen, both of these guys, I mean, if they were coming out, basically what you're watching is the number one picks in the next two drafts.
Yeah.
That's what you're watching.
Yeah.
And I think if both guys, I'm glad they both don't come out the same year. I'm really glad they don't come out the same year. Because I think, you know, it would slight the other, because one would have to be taken number one, and I think they both deserve to be taken number one. But the way Joe Burrow moves in a pocket, the way he buys time, and he fits, I think he's made more NFL throws this year. I'm not saying because he hadn't been starting that long. He's made more NFL throws that I've seen than Trevor Lawrence. Not to say Trevor Lawrence can't do it. I'm not saying that. So I'm picking Joe Burrow based upon those two things.
Trevor has the much stronger arm, but Joe Burrow's not got a problem there.
Exactly.
I think Burrow processes information maybe a touch quicker.
Mm-hmm.
He's also played. He's a fifth-year senior, whereas Trevor Lawrence is a true sophomore, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's obviously a difference in age there. But I don't think you can go wrong with either one.
No, you can't.
I think if you're asking me which guy is playing better football right now and who do I like to play the better game in the national championship, I'd probably lean Joe Burrow because of how he's played. If you're asking me who I would take in an NFL team over the long term of his career, I probably would take Trevor Lawrence. So I realize that that's hedging my bets and sort of giving you both answers there. but the point is that when LSU beat Oklahoma by just absolutely crushing them on Saturday to get to the national title game, sort of fulfilling this Coach O LSU Louisiana Cajun thing that is just such a special story for them, including, of course, if you take into account the tragedy, the plane crash, if you missed it, Steve Ensminger, the offensive coordinator for LSU, lost his daughter-in-law, his son's wife, who was a media member, was involved in that plane crash and passed away, and then he had to call the game that day, which I just, again, from a human element standpoint, I don't know how you deal and cope with that. And not only deal with it and cope with it, but you go out and you produce the best offensive showing in the history of the playoff for any team in the 6-year history of the event. I think LSU could have played almost anybody in America, and they would have had a clear advantage at quarterback in the national championship game. I don't think that playing Clemson, that they have the clear advantage at quarterback. That's the Clemson's the only team in America that I think, maybe Tua, but Tua got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
If you line up Trevor Lawrence against Joe Burrow in the national title game, I don't think there's a advantage for either team at quarterback, and it's the only two teams that I think can say that about each other. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I think what...
Like, I love Justin Fields. Joe Burrow is clearly playing better football than Justin Fields.
Yeah, but I think what separated... You're right. If you can't say, well... You know what? Joe Burrow is clearly the better quarterback, or Trevor Lawrence is clearly the best quarterback. You can't say that. I mean, you can kind of, you're either on one side or the other, but you're not saying, you're nitpicking. Like I did. Right. This is what I would choose. You know, this is why I choose Joe Burrow, but it's a small thing. You know, it's not like this huge thing that he's a better passer, all this other stuff. But it's not necessarily who's throwing the passes that have a decisive advantage.
Don't
this
be talking
year.
About my Clemson receivers
no.
now.
No, it's not the receivers. I think as a whole, LSU has better receivers. They have more guys
They're both pretty good.
But
Amari Rodgers, T. Higgins.
Yeah, I mean, they really only go two deep. LSU goes four deep. I mean, it's like those four guys are first round picks in any draft. And Higgins and Ross, they're first round picks in
Rodgers,
any draft too.
Yeah.
But they have more. LSU has more of those guys.
And the tight end.
Yeah,
and
Thaddeus Moss. They have more of those guys. This is the one thing that to me that separates it. And maybe it's unfair. Just this year, it's the play calling. S. Meyer and Joe Brady together, they are a better tandem of play callers than what...
I can give you that. Scott and Tony Elliott.
This year. I'm just saying this year, what they've shown.
Okay.
They are a better combination of play callers than what Clemson has.
I think LSU is generationally good. Like, if they were to win this thing, we would be talking about them like 2001 Miami or 2004 USC or... you know, like the greatest teams of all time, right, is what we would be talking
this
about.
This might be considered the greatest team of all time.
And they might be the greatest offense of all time, yeah. No question. I don't think anyone's ever going to be better than 0-1 Miami. Like, their defense had Vince Wilfork, yeah. DJ Williams, Jonathan Vilma, Phillip Buchanan, Sean Taylor. You know, like
but their offense wasn't as explosive as this one.
No, but Frank Gore, Willis yeah. McGahee, Jeremy Shockey, Kellen Winslow, Brian McKinney. Like, NFL. I think the 0-1 Miami team is the best team I've ever seen. But
if they don't win the championship, but if LSU wins the championship, then...
Well, 0-1 Miami did. 0-2, they lost. 0-2, yeah, 0-2 is Miami, the one that
yeah.
lost.
They lost, yeah.
So I still think 0-1 Miami is the best team I've ever seen, but this one's close. But Clemson's pretty damn good, too. So I think we've got a worthy championship. Also, I think the winner should get Death Valley permanently.
No.
The other one can't say the words Death Valley anymore.
The winner...
I don't know how everybody thinks
if LSU
that.
Wins, I think there should be a bill passed. There should be a Coach O Day where everybody talks like Coach O. Everybody.
I think everybody already
I
does.
Love Coach O the way he talks. Everybody should talk like Coach yeah. O if they win a national championship.
All right.
One day.
We got to get back to the Titans and their win yesterday over the Texans and going to the playoffs against the New England Patriots. We got to get back to that. There's no question about that. I do have one. I've got to address the Ohio State fans. And I'm going to give everybody knows an Ohio State fan. And I have nothing against Ohio State fans. You're wonderful people. But everyone knows somebody in their office that's an Ohio State fan because you guys are everywhere. And I'm going to give the people out there some ammunition to shut up Ohio State fans today. When you run into them at the office or the grocery store, I'm going to give you some stuff, all right? So you can just tell the Ohio State fan to shut his yapper and stop complaining about Saturday night. Okay, we'll get back to Titans, but I got to do this first. I feel compelled. So we'll do that when we return. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.